Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, happy Monday to you, buddy. How are you doing today?
Good. How about this the Sunday of college football playoff matchups and where Penn State is headed? So a nice, fun ride, I think, and beneficial to Penn State here.
Leaves us a lot to talk about. So here's our schedule. Quarter number one, we are going to break down all of the news. Segment two and three, we're going to say, should I stay or should I go? With all apologies to, who is it, The Clash, Dustin? And we're going to decide which players should stick around and which ones should be moving on, whether that's the NFL, transfer portal, whatever that may be. Fourth quarter, we'll have a special guest on. We're going to start talking about recruiting because we got the early signing day next week. So let's get right to it, Dusty. The big announcement, it was going to be either the Vegas Bowl or the Music City Bowl or the Pinstripe Bowl. Or how about the Outback Bowl? How about it, Dusty?
How about the Outback Bowl? Man, I didn't see that coming. And I think this just speaks to why I don't really follow the bowl projections too closely because, you know, ultimately you do have human consideration here and you have bowl representatives who have businesses to run. They get paid way too much to do that, but that's a separate story for a separate day. But you know, Penn State, the ultimate tiebreaker in any of this is that Penn State fans watch their team like crazy. A national audience kind of watches this team like crazy. Their fans travel and they buy stuff. They stay in hotels. So, you know, I think Penn State has such an unbelievable track record of loyalty from their fans that they often get bumped up in that bowl packing order when maybe they do or don't deserve to do that. The Outback Bowl on nobody's radar. But again, my thinking is the ultimate tiebreaker is the fans themselves. So anybody who's listening to this and is planning to go to Tampa, you're the reason you're going to Florida in the first place.
And we thank you, fans, for getting us the better bowl game. It is interesting, Dustin, and the answer to most discussions, whether we're talking about coaches leaving, going somewhere else, expanded playoffs, whatever the conversation is, ultimately, the bottom line is the bottom line. Is there money there?
100%. 100%. Penn State fans bring business. They bring that economic impact that makes a difference in this situation. Now, you know that there is a pretty loose outline of who can go where and who they will likely play from another conference. But, you know, the human decision makers jump in and Penn State gets some favorable treatment oftentimes because of all the reasons outlined. And that includes watching on TV. You know, Penn State, most years, I would say, has one of the top 10 or 15 highest rated television games too. So all this factors in. This is a business decision. And I think it also probably helps that Penn State typically performs pretty well in bowl games. Don't let that be, you know, a non-issue here, because I think most times Penn State with a little extra prep time, they tend to show well. And so a Penn State Arkansas game with two pretty traditional programs that have never played each other, surprisingly so. You know, brings a little intrigue in terms of the matchup too.
Let's talk about that matchup a little bit. I know over the next couple of weeks we'll get into the nitty gritty of it, but first off, I've always talked about like those out of conference games. Earlier this year, we had Penn State Auburn, a Southeast Conference school, rich football tradition. That really added some spice to the schedule. Really got the fan base going, and I think there's some of that going on here. You're playing Arkansas, a Southeast Conference school again, a school that you've never faced before, as you mentioned, Dusty. I think it makes it an intriguing matchup.
And you're absolutely right about that. And Arkansas is a really, really intriguing team. You know, they hired Sam Pittman. You know, they didn't go with a huge splashy name hire. They hired from within. They hired Sam Pittman. He gets just a monumental win in week two when they beat Texas at home. They storm the field. I think the AD is kind of mic'd up, or there's footage of him saying, let them storm, we'll pay for it. You know, feel good season. They start off 4-0. Everything comes to a screeching halt when they play Georgia and they get beat 37-0. But Georgia brought everything to a screeching halt for everybody. Beyond that loss, they've played everybody tough for the most part. They took Alabama to the wire. They lost that one 42-35. And the interesting thing, and what makes this matchup so fun, I think, is that you can't really pin Arkansas to one thing. You can't say they do this, they do that. They've played games that are all over the map in terms of style and outcome, low scoring, high scoring. They can throw the ball if they need to. They can play tough defense if they need to. So I think you have two teams here that, you know, you can't really pin them down in terms of what they can and can't do. So it's like it brings a lot of unpredictability to it. And I really feel like one way or the other, you're going to get a tight matchup. And I can't say for sure as we sit here right now whether that's going to be 15-14 or whether that's going to be 45-44. I don't really know that yet.
And what's interesting is you mentioned Arkansas. Let's see, a team that started out really well, got a big win early, won their first four games, then lost several games in the back half of the season, close games to good teams. Where have we heard that story before, Dusty?
Oh, man, yeah, close games to good teams. I mean, it's a consolation prize, but not really a consolation prize. Any program that doesn't want to stand for moral victories is probably sick of hearing that, and that's the story of Penn State, Ohio State in a nutshell right there.
All right, let's hit on some of the actual news from Penn State. Enzo Jennings, a guy that we thought was going to show up this year even, decides to hit the portal.
Yeah, I don't know what all is behind that. I mean, on the surface, you see a kid who's completing his second full season on campus, who played in one game last year and no games this year. The depth chart had kind of taken shape without him taking part in that. Maybe had some early expectations for himself and hasn't had a chance to realize them. Maybe he's not growing into a role as quickly as he or the coaching staff had hoped. I mean, maybe he's one of those guys. James Franklin has been on the record as saying a bunch of times that it doesn't happen right away for everybody, that if you just wait it out, if you stick it out, you know, maybe it's year three or year four. But in this day and age, I think you have fewer and fewer kids, especially ones who are, you know, one of the top, 150 players in the country in the 2020 class. Enzo Jennings did come with expectations. He came, I think, with a reputation as being a guy who could help early if needed. And that hasn't taken shape for him. Maybe a fresh start is in his best interest. You know, maybe he'll be chalked up as another statistic where, you know, you leave one destination chasing the grass is greener on some other campus, and it doesn't ultimately prove to be that way. You hope for the best for him. You know, he's a kid from Michigan. Maybe he moves a little bit closer to home. I'm curious to see where he'll end up, but I think you have a lot of Power 5 schools interested in him because there still is a lot of raw potential there.
And the legacy of a four-star will help you get to somewhere else, another school. But I think it also adds in, again, a little bit of that tendency. If a kid's not local, there's a little bit more likelihood of him hitting the portal, especially if he hasn't met his own expectations to hitting the field. More news on the coaching front. I'm not sure how much you and I talked about Brent Pry last week taking the job at Virginia Tech, which I think is a great job for him as a coordinator to get a Power 5 job with a school with a good tradition at Virginia Tech. And I bring that up to balance it out with now Joe Moorhead, great reputation as an offensive coordinator. Things didn't go his way when he took the job at Mississippi State. He was there for a couple years, been the offensive coordinator at Oregon, where things have gone pretty well until they met Utah. He takes the job at Akron. Are you surprised with that?
I mean, on the surface, you're surprised by it. Why the Oregon offensive coordinator, why a guy who was an SEC head coach, who had so much success at Penn State as a coordinator, why he would go to a program that appears to be in shambles. But I think if you look at Joe Moorhead's, you know, his roots, and what seems to be his personality and the way that he has thrived in situations where there are low slash reasonable expectations, doing that at Fordham as the head coach, coming in as kind of an unknown commodity at Penn State and being able to do what he did without a lot of limelight or pressure at first anyway. When he had some success, it changed things a little bit. Then going to Mississippi State where he's kind of run out of town and there's high expectations. He's in the SEC. And then even going from there to Oregon as the coordinator and the expectations that came with that. I mean, he is, his career, you know, he's from Pittsburgh, that area originally. He has thrived in these start small, build big situations. I'm personally thrilled to see this dynamic take shape because he has a chance to go in there when nobody's looking. Nobody cares about Akron. Everybody's scratching their head. And it just seems to be the environment where Joe Moorhead can just blow expectations out of the water instead of all these past 4 years of being in that pressure cooker and having all eyeballs on you and people criticizing you. He's going to go to a place where it's closer to his roots. It's closer to his personality fit, and he has a chance to go from zero expectations to build somebody who can kind of turn heads in the MAC and create a contender from thin air. So I like it, and I think the way that that college football is right now, he can probably attract a kid who's down the depth chart at a Power 5 school and give him that chance and get a wide receiver or two. I don't think he's that far off from doing some pretty exciting stuff at Akron. So I get the criticism or the curiosity right now, but I think in a year or two we can look back and feel like this is a slam dunk for both Akron and Joe Moorhead.
I'm not criticizing him for doing it. It's just in comparison. I think Brent Pry was very smart and opportunistic. He waited for the right job in the right region where he could excel, in a conference where he could excel, at a school that could excel in the ACC. Where Joe Moorhead, and I understand there's not 1,000 of these jobs, but he took the job at Mississippi State, and this isn't hindsight. We said it when he first went there. That's going to be a tough place for him to succeed. So that's the kind of juxtaposition of the two coordinators.
Right.
Finally, I want to get your thoughts, Dusty. At Ohio State, Quinn Ewers, who, if you don't know, he's the quarterback who was supposed to be in the class of 22, reclassified so he could go to Ohio State, get NIL money, which he couldn't get at high school at Texas, arrived at Ohio State late, was never going to play this year, didn't play this year, and he's now in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, he and Spencer Rattler both kind of trying to make a bunch of money on the front end before they did much on the field, doing it off reputation and potential and high hopes. I feel like Quinn Ewers has been making business decisions since he was, you know, a junior in high school, and that maybe part of that business decision was the possibility of transferring immediately out of Ohio State. How else can you explain? Like, he knew what he was getting into, obviously. He knew what the competitive environment was like, and he ended up leaving anyway. We'll see what happens. I hope the best for him, but one of those NIL weirdness issues.
And there may be a lesson in this for those businesses who are providing the money to these kids. We shall see. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter one in the news. Stick around quarter number two. We're going to start playing Stay or Go.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.